bit of a help. We're on the, we're about the mission on the bottom of Kav Zayin on the base. And I just want to thank Abba for this wonderful, wonderful opportunity. I'm sure he's not, he doesn't get used to it, but I just want to let our listeners overseas know that we are sitting right here probably in the most unique place in the world, I would imagine. I don't think there's anything like this anywhere. Where we're zeicha to be directly across from the Makom HaMikdash, the Harabayis, literally overlooking the Harabayis, and with nothing in between us at all. And we're zeicha to be in what Chazal call the, I mean, they define the Pasuk as being one of the Botim Gidolim in Yerushalayim. To see a house like this rebuilt in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKedesh, is to mamish, to make a brocha. It's just a tremendous, tremendous Kiddush Hashem. He sensed the Geula coming closer and closer, and he's sitting in this house. It's a wonderful, wonderful place to do a daf yomi. It's, you know, this picture from a year ago is still up on the site. As the daf yomi, it's a shame it's late at night. We can't get another shot with the. This is really so special. Yeah. Okay, but let's get to our daf. And Saba Josh isn't here either, so let's see. I think I'm the reigning member. We'll have to do Zok the Hedle Commissioner. Omer Rabbi Zecharia ben HaKatzav. Rabbi Zecharia ben HaKatzav, who was in Yerushalayim at the time of the Churban. This is also a perfect Mishnah for sitting up here now. So Rabbi Zecharia ben HaKatzav, at the beginning of this process that we're at the end of, so he was in Yerushalayim at the time of the invasion in which Yerushalayim fell. And because he was a Kohen, and his wife was one of the women in Yerushalayim, and we just learned in the previous sugya that all of the women become Asura on the assumption that they were raped, she is an Ashes Kohen, and so unfortunately he was in a very tough spot. Now he knew for a fact that she wasn't raped, and as a matter of fact he went to Beit Din, and he swore Hama'on Hazeh, usually a reference to the Beit HaMikdash itself, so I swear by this house, Lo zaza yada mitoch yadim mishaash nichnesu avdei kochavim leYerushalayim ad sheyatzu. I swear that my wife's hand didn't leave my hand the entire time, from the time that the first invading troops came in until they left. Omrulo ein adam meid al atzmo. There's no way that we can accept your testimony to be matir, your wife, to you, because a person cannot be made on his own wife, just like she cannot be made on herself. Says the Gemara Tana, it says in a Braita that Afal Piken, although he was no longer allowed to continue being intimate with her, nonetheless, and even though he was a Kohen, and you might think that the following was Aser, Yiched La Bayit B'chatzero, he built her a house in his Chatzer. Ukashi Yotz'ah, when she would leave, B'rosh Baneah, all of the kids would follow her out. Ukashi Nichneset B'sof Baneah, and all of the kids would walk in before her, so that there was never a moment that she was alone with him in the chotzer, because he wasn't allowed to sleep with her, and therefore he wasn't allowed to be mityached with her. So that he took care of her, and she lived together in that chotzer, together with the kids, but never were they alone from that day on. Boy Abaye. Abaye wants to know, Ma'ula sod bigrushake. Is such a thing permissible? Someone divorces a woman. So at that point, she's also not supposed to be intimate with him. I mean, obviously no longer married. And then when it gets to Kohen, you have a bigger problem, because a Kohen who divorces a woman is no longer allowed to even to marry her. There's no sex is allowed with her under any circumstances. So under those circumstances, what do we do? Is it mutter to have this type of situation, a house in the chatzar, and to make sure that you're not alone with her? Do we say that hatamu debishvuya yikilu, is it only because we have a series of kulais, as we saw, to make life easier for a woman who was in these kind of horrific circumstances, including belief of an evident shivcha and so on? So one of the things that perhaps we weren't so makbin on was this type of relationship that would continue. Aval hachalo, mashenkein, in cases of divorce where we do not have those other mitigating circumstances, so we wouldn't allow this type of relationship. Or do we say that as long as the proper controls are in place and they're never alone, it would be okay? Tashma, let's bring a raya from the bright. The Tanya, Hamagaresha Tishto, Lo Tinase Bishkunato. Someone who divorces his wife cannot, that woman cannot live in his neighborhood. Even now she goes and gets married, she can't live in his neighborhood because we are afraid that because of their previous relationship, it is too easy, even without having any type of overt contact, all it takes is a little wink and a singing your song and so on and so forth, to basically get them together again. And therefore, we don't allow her to live in that same shchuna. Shchuna is defined elsewhere as an area of three homes. Well, there's a little bit of a machlokas. We've shown him over here what the what exactly the measurement is. The im haya kohen. Now, if he was a kohen, then even if she was not remarried, then lo tidorimo b'mavuj, he cannot even live in the same mavui as she lives. Now, the question over here is, Rashi learns, even though she's not married. Tosfos learns dafka because she's not married. It's because she's not married. And therefore, the Kohen doesn't take the Isser as seriously as he would as an Eish Hadish. I mean, he looks at her, after all, we were married, and this is just a love to take a grusha and so on. So because of that, we even increase the level of the Isser. And we say she can't live anywhere in that same mavui, so that the Tosfos understands that the mavui is a larger area than the shchuna. But one particular shchuna would be like we have nowadays the buildings that have, you know, three entrances in them and so on. So that would be a shchuna. A mavui would be anywhere along that street, in which may be a mile away, but they go along the same road and they're bound to bump into each other. Now, actually, the Rosh learns just the opposite. The Rosh learns that a mavui is less of a chumrah than a shchuna. He doesn't learn that the shchuna is referring to that type of shchuna. It means rather the entire neighborhood, and the mavui is just the local area that the chatzerot open onto. So he learns that just the opposite. We're not going to be so makbid because it's only an iser lav mashenke. When it comes to problem of the day shetish, we're more makbid. So we have really three different approaches over here. According to Rashi, we're saying that even without niseit, koshike niseit, according to Tosfos, dafke niseit, will be marchik. But if she was a ptuya, then already, I mean, if she was married already, then it's like anybody else. He's not going to be more mekel, and we'll give him the same din as anybody else. And according to the Rosh, it's the other way around. That we're more mekel, and then a mavui is actually less than a shchuna. So, im haya kvar katan, if this was a small town, in which it is possible now to get close to someone without anybody even noticing, you have separated little houses, and there's no roads with people walking by, and there's nothing to prevent them from getting together directly. Ze haya ma'aseh, that was an actual question that was raised in court. Ve'omru kvar katan nidon kishchuna, that's considered to be like a single shchuna, or there's another gyusa kemavui, depending on which approach you take, the shchuna being worse, the mavui being worse. Now, the question is, mi nitcha mipnei mi? We said they can't live together. Okay, that's really great, but, I mean, who's got to move? this is the old question. Who's got to move, right? So, Tashma, the Braita says, the Tanya, hi nitchet mipanav, ve'en hu nitcha mipanea. She's got to move out, he doesn't have to move out. Ve'im haita chatzer shela, if she owns the chatzer, then, of course, he's got to move. Hu nitcha mipanea. The question is, Ibailu, Haita Chatzer Shel Shneihem Mao. How about if they both have ownership in that Chatzer? Would we then change the Halacha in any way, perhaps be Meiko, because it's an ownership? Or different ways of understanding exactly what the question is in light of the Gemara that follows. Tashma, well, look, it says, Yinitret Mipanav, okay? Let's try to figure out what that's referring to. She's got to move. So, b'mayaskinan, he leimer b'chatzer shelo. I mean, if we're talking about a chatzer that he owns, why would we think that he would have to move out of what he owns? Nobody had come up with the modern-day approach. And if he owns it, for sure he's got to leave, and I'll leave it to her. But if he owns it, for sure he doesn't have to leave. So that can't be what it means. Therefore, what are you going to say? That it's talking about that she owns it. I thought we just learned about Tani Maita Chatzer Shalai Nitcha, who Nitcha Mipanea, that if she indeed owns the Chatzer, so then he does have to leave. So then apparently the only out is to say, Elalav Ki Agavna, that we're talking about a situation where they both own it. Why? Maybe neither own it. Maybe Dima Dog and Maker. Maybe they're renting. The question over here is simply, forget about ownership. Who has to move? That's the question. Let's ignore the questions of ownership. Indeed, we obviously would change the halacha. But assuming we don't get into problems of ownership, we're still left with our dual ownership. And so, it may well be talking about ego migo, but what would we do about a case where the two of them have ownership in it, Toshma. Take a look at this fascinating pasuk, which teaches us exactly how to look really at a situation like this. Hine Hashem metaltalcha taltala gaver. Really weird. God is going to move you around the way a man is moved, rather than simply let you move. Which means, the Omar Rav, this shows us that Tiltulei de Gavra Kashin Midiidata. And interestingly enough, it is much more difficult for a male to adapt than it is for women to adapt. So a woman is much more adaptable because she's more adaptable. Therefore, she should be the one to move because she will suffer less. So since both parties here, these are no-fault divorces. So since both parties are going to suffer, the question is, who's going to suffer more? The one who suffers more, we are kinder to. And it's very interesting. This is also a direct function of Nashim Da'atan Kalot, which people think means women have weak minds, which is not what it means at all. It means exactly what it says. Da'atan Kalot means easy, light. Their connectedness to things is much easier than a male's connectedness, so that even though they're invested in something, it's easier for them to pick themselves up and reinvest in something new and to make a new life than it is for a man. Because of that also, the tiltul is more difficult for a male. Tana Rabbanan, Lavai Nena Ben Ichsei Avia, if subsequent to a divorce they've got a problem because he has borrowed money from her, money that was based on Nichsei Malug that she had brought in, that don't belong to him, he only has a right to produce, and he actually borrowed. Now she wants to sue him. She wants her money back. So now the question is, how does she get that money? The din is ena nifrat ela al yedei acher. When she is suing him under any circumstances or collecting from him, it is essential to maintain distance between them, because surprisingly enough, this is a fantastic insight. This is the Kramer versus Kramer insight. Fantastically enough, Chazal were aiming on the fact that the very act of being in court together creates a tremendous amount of ambivalent feelings and a great deal of kiruv, despite the fact that they are fighting each other. It's remarkable insight. And therefore, they prohibited direct contact even in court or under circumstances where you would think that, like, that's the last thing that's going to lead to a love relationship and so on. Fantastic. Now, because of that, she cannot directly approach him. She has to use, oh God, this is where it came from, lawyers. This is it. she's got to use somebody as a go-between. Omer Rav Sheshes said it even more. He said, if I ever find a couple coming in front of my court, I refuse to deal with them. Throw them out of court. You want to come to court as a couple, I want to see your lawyers. I don't want to see you. So that's what he would do. It gets worse than that. Because Rav Papa said, well, I wouldn't throw them out of court. I would first put them into cherem. Shamuti mishamtina lehu. Rav Huna Bereder of Yeshua said, I wouldn't be satisfied with that. I'd string them up and lash them. Negudei nami menagdina lehu. Om Rav Nachman, Tana ba'avel rabati, we learn in the Braita that's called Avel Rabati, ba'med devarim amurim, shenidgashra menan nisuin. All of these dinim are dafka where the divorce took place after they already had a well-developed relationship, so they'd already been to the chuppah and therefore were already intimate with each other. But nidgarsha mina erusin, where only the kiddushin had been done, they were still waiting in the time period between the kiddushin and the chuppah, we don't consider that they have a well-developed relationship, and therefore there's not that much ambivalence in the feelings. We don't have to be worried about this kind of thing. If they come to court, they can kill each other in court, and it's not gonna do anything for them. Amr of Nachman. She can go and sue him directly in Nifrata Yideatzma. Shainly Bogasba, he doesn't have that kind of feelings for her yet, that they're so comfortable with each other, they're just going to happen to bed. That's not reasonable. Now, who Orus Varusato da Atul Kamid Rava? There was a case like this in a Bezdin of Rava where there was a divorce after Erusin. And Yossi Rivada Bar Masna Kame. Ravana Bar Masna was in the audience of the Talmidim, and Rava refused to allow them to talk to each other. He appointed a court-appointed lawyer to stand between them, and the lawyer would deal with the issues. So he put a shlucha in the type. So Ravana Bar Masna was there, raised his hands, and he asked why the court did that. But the Omer of Nachman, didn't Rav Nachman say that we learned it Avel Rabbati, etc., 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 that this is only after Nisuin and not after Erisin? The case over here is that these people are not yet intimate with each other. So Rava answered them, well, that's all very nice in theory, but Omer Leika Chazina Zekagaisibadari, I have picked up the fact that they're very comfortable with each other. Now, it's none of my business why and how, but bottom line is there needs to be somebody in between. And some have this mice actually a little bit the opposite. Some say that Rava proceeded normally without appointing someone as a lawyer. So at that point, Rav Adar Bar Nachmasa from the audience protested, and he said, Nekom Ashlucha Ben Atayu, you need somebody here. So Rava said, why do I need somebody? Omer of Nachman, Tanabava Rabat, etc., etc. And Rav Adar Bar Mazda was the one who said, well, that's all theory, but I can tell you one thing, I could see very clearly that they're very comfortable with each other. Until now we've discussed all types of fascinating ne'emanut, whether it's based on migo or neid echad or types of kulas that we did for women in conditions of shvuya and even shivcha eved and so on and so forth. But we haven't discussed a situation where, actually we did once without talking about it too much, where someone testifies now as a gadol to what he remembers while he was a katan. Now normally, a dut has to be in a position of kashrut from beginning to end. You cannot be at the time in which you witness something, you cannot be an eid posel and then become an eid kosher and now testify. However, there are certain inyanim, and the Gemara will go through each one why we were mekel on each one of these. But there are certain inyanim where we will believe a person to testify something that he saw while he was a child. So, ne'eman adam lomar zektav yado shel abba, he can identify his father's signature on a contract. Or zektav yado shel rabbi, he can identify his rabbi's signature. Or zektav yado shel achi, he can identify his brother's signature. He can furthermore say, and this brings us all the way back to the beginning of these issues of ne'amanut, Zechor ayiti beplodin chiyatza behinuma v'rosh ha'porua. This is what the way the parak began. I remember that this woman was married the way a betula is married. And we will rely on that to say, okay, so I guess she got married as a betula, and we're talking about all of the other implications for a ketubah as a betula. And I remember Shahaya ish ploni yotzemi beta sefer litvo lechol betruma. I remember that they took this kid out of school, and they were tovel him in a mikveh so that he should eat truma. Now, we know that it's significant that they took him out of school, but we're going to talk about that again. And I remember that this certain guy haya cholek imono al agoren. He would come down to the goren to get truma, and they would give him truma on his own. I remember that amakom hazeh beta pras. I remember that this area in the field, which everybody knows, the way Tosfos understands it, which everyone knows to be a Beit HaPras. A Beit HaPras comes from the word, at least according to the Rambam. There's a lot of different Pirushim about the word. The Rambam understands Pras to come from the word of Parus, meaning spread out. So that there was a kever originally in this area, and they plowed it over. Because of that, the Rabbanan made a takana that since there may be small pieces of bone that are at least a size of a seora, so it's the size of a barley corn, that would be enough to be metame, not ba'ol, of course. To be metame ba'ol, you need to have a great piece of skeletal remains, rosha, rubo, rovinion. But it would be metame you if you actually touched it, and therefore we don't allow kohen to be metame, then go eat truma, walking over this thing, so that we consider it to be, it's called a beit hapras because of this. Now it's 100 by 100 amas around the area where the kever was. If this child, this adult now, says, as a child, I remember that the area that was prohibited only came up to here, and he points out where it was, and after that people would walk and the kohanim weren't makbid on it, we will believe him to define up to what space the beit hapras was. Also, he's believed if he says, I remember as a child, we used to walk up to here on Shabbat. So obviously, this place was within the Tchum. So, Ad Kanayinu Baim B'Shabbat. Aval, in Adam Ne'eman Lomar, Derech Haya Leploni B'Makom Hazeh, Ur Ma'amad, U'Mispeid Haya Leploni B'Makom Hazeh. When it comes to monetary issues, he is not believed to say, I remember that Joe had a little access road here through this guy's field, and that he had a waiver. He's not believed for that. Or, I know that Joe's family, whenever they would make a funeral, they would always stop in this place. They would do a hesped right over here. And it was the minhag that families would have their own little area to do Hespedim and do the Ma'amad where the Avel would stand, everybody would be Menachem, and they would afterwards have a meal and so on. He's not believed for that because that has monetary implications. Says the Gemara, this halacha is only talking about a case where you had another witness who was a gadol at the time. Now Tosfos says this is weird because two of these cases are talking about making somebody a kohen, and I thought we accept an eid echad. So how could it be referring to that case? I mean, what's the point? If there's a gadol, then we believe him anyway. So it couldn't be referring to those cases, says Tosfos. But there are rishonim who want to learn that we're talking dafka libet Rabbi Yehuda here. Well, did you always need that since mal in mitrum al yuchasim? So because you always need two people to be made on a kohen. That introduces other issues, because then that means we're going to be Mala the Yuchs and I'll be this cotton. So it's clear why we wouldn't want to say that. Okay, but in any event, where we need two witnesses, it's talking about that one of the two witnesses remembers what he saw as a cotton, but the other one is a normal gadol. Now, we need the first three cases where we mentioned separately my father's signature, my Rebbe's signature, my brother's signature. I mean, just say he's believed to say a signature. Because Yashmin and Aviv, the Mishnah would only tell us that he's believed to identify his father's signature. That's Mishum Deshkiach Gabe. That's because, I mean, a father, kids around the father a lot, and he's in the house, he sees papers and so on. So maybe that's the kind of thing that he picks up after a while, especially when he gets used to forging notes for the teacher that he's, you know, supposed to get out early from school today and stuff like that. Exactly. So then that means he knows his father's signature. But, yeah, I mean, how's he going to know his rabbi's signature? We actually know rabbi on the other hand. If it would say his rebbe's signature, it's mishum de itle emte the rabbi. It's because he fears his rebbe. There's different pshatim in this. Some learn that he likes to emulate his rebbe, and therefore he learns his handwriting. But since he has this sense of worship towards his rebbe, he's going to try to write like him. So he gets to see the way that he... You know, he'll pick up his papers and try to imitate his papers and so on. Others learn that, look, he wouldn't do something like that. He's too frightened of his Rebbe if he's not 100% sure this is a signature. All right. First shot is cute. Huh?
You know, how come there's no distinction made between different ages of cuttings here? In other words, if you saw something when he was two or something when he was seven, it's the same din?
Yeah. No, same din. Avalavinya, because it's just a question of whether we need real edut or we don't need real. Once we're making a cut, we're making a cut. Let's say he would have told us both father and Rebbe. I would have said, okay, because in each one of them we have unique circumstances. The Aviv he's exposed to all the time. Shkiach Gabe Rabo, he has the special relationship with Yitle Amte. Whereas his brother, where you don't have either of those special circumstances. Therefore, it's coming to tell us the Mishnah that this is really based not so much on the logistics as it is on the logic. But given the kiyum shtarot min rabbanan, imnu rabbanan ben rabbanan. Rabbanan are not looking to be machner on kiyum shtaros. Kiyum shtaros, as far as the Torah is concerned, you sign a shtar, it's kibisha nechre duto bebeidin. The rabbanan made this whole big takana that we need a kiyum either from an existing shtar or from a witness. That's a very big chumrah, and in order to be makil on kiyum shtaros, we allow a katan to be made. Because of that, by the way, there are many Rishonim will learn that when it says brother, it doesn't mean brother. It means or anybody. It's just taking case of brother because of it, how's he going to identify anybody? But there, because otherwise, when we say, Kamash Balan, that Kiyam Shtar is a Drabon and Yikilu. I mean, it's a funny way to say it, Kamash Balan. I mean, that's not the point. Kamash Balan, Afilu Achi, not Kamash Balan. Then you could ask, by Taima, Kiyam Shtar is a Drabon. Kamash Balan, that Kiyam is Mash Balan. You're saying, we don't really care. So the Maisi can identify anybody. So that's a big machlokes. But it's a very interesting Tosfos over here that raises the really important question. And he doesn't really give it an absolute answer. How is it possible to say that anybody who signs a piece of paper is considered to be commissioned echrei dosim mebesdin midorais? It sounds crazy. So what does that mean? That anybody now takes a piece of paper, writes... forges a signature, and well, Mikra din Nechre Dizim Abesdin. For what possible logical reason would it be Nechre Dizim Abesdin? How can you say that Kiyum Shtaros is only Drabanan under any and all circumstances? That sounds nutty. That's a really good question. I mean, what does it mean? Since you're an aide, we don't even know if you exist. All we see is scribbled lines on a piece of parchment. That is it. It's a remarkable issue. Although Tosfos says it doesn't seem to be that that's the case, but the Re suggests that only in cases where the lova is moda that this is a real shtar. Then we're saying kiyum shtar is the rabbanan. So what's the difference? Because if he's tining that it's parua, we'll see there's a man the Omar who holds that even if the lova tines that it's parua, the fact that you have the shtar, we said before, the fact that you have the shtar is proof positive that the loan wasn't paid. What are you doing with the shtar? The guy's tining parua, he's not believed. But there is a shita that says that that's only if there was a kiyum. So that even in a case where the loiva is moda that this was a good shtar, you have to be makayim your shtar in order to be able to be tovem. That's where we're saying it's kemishin echredus bebes. Because over there we have no real question about the signature. It's definitely a good shtar. So there we have a tikkun de rabbanan that even that is not considered to be echredus bebes. But in other cases, maybe you wouldn't say really that it's only a derabbanan. I mean, there's got to be some mechanism for assuring that what we're dealing with is this guy's signature or a signature of a real aid. Okay, but Tosis himself raises objections to that, but it's kedai to mention. We'll see more, of course, Kim Shtars later. Whether it acts as a shtar, in which case we don't have to say that we're coming on to the lova, and therefore it's a pesha sapeshiter essentially. He's saying it's a kosher shtar, but he's saying poruahu. The next case was a churaiti beplonichi yatsa binuma v'rosha porua. So why exactly over here do we believe it? My time akiva the rov nashim tulot nisot gilo imyil to beyamu. And therefore, as we mentioned earlier, even though we're talking about yotzas momon, what we're doing is a gilui milta on something which the rov really doesn't require. Amotzi mechavera olavaraya. Fisha haya ish ploni yotze mi beit hasefer litbo lecho betruma. I understand, what proof is it that a guy eats truma? He might be an eved. V'dilma eved hu. I mean, so he's an eved of a kohen. Ah, this proves Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi's contention. V'dilma Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, asur la'adam shilamed et avdo Torah. You are not allowed to teach your eved Torah. Since this guy says, he went to school with me, and he was taken out of school. So therefore, it's inherent in his testimony that the guy is, in fact, a kohen and not an eved. What, is that true? Wait, let's finish. Velo, an eved's not allowed to learn Torah. Well, Tanya, or at least that's what we think now. Lova emeno rabo. How about it? The odain takes a loan from his servant. This guy's doing quite well. So he takes out a loan from the servant. Osha asa o rabo apotropos, or he makes his servant his official agent to deal with his property and so on. Or shaya oniach tefillin b'fnei rabo, or this eved puts on tefillin in front of his master. Now, if he's really an eved, he's potter from tefillin, because he's only chayiv in mitzvahs that a woman is chayiv asin. So the act of putting on tefillin seems to be saying, I am not really an eved. He's doing this in front of the master, and the master's not objecting. So, O shekarash l'shab sukim in Beit HaKnesset, they gave him an aliyah. And he's reading there in the Beit HaKnesset. Harezeh lo yatza l'cheirut. We don't say that if he hadn't given him a get shichrur, he would not have given him the right to do things that a Ben Chorin does, that this apparently this is something that is acceptable. So, I mean, it's obviously acceptable that he reads from the Torah and so on, so it means we don't give him the dinim of a woman in these issues, and why can't he be learning? Well, atam da'akri evan midato. One second over here. We're talking about, when we say that he went to school, we're saying dekanoig beminag bonim. You are treating this Eved like your son. You're sending him to school. So since you're sending him to school, that already is something. This, by the way, is true of women as well. A woman who learns Torah on her own, it's wonderful. It's a big source. The only halachic issue is to treat her the way you would a son and to force her to learn Torah, really. So you don't sit there and treat a woman the way you treat a male. And that's all that we were saying. But to say that the other tolerated his learning, I mean, why not? That's not a problem. Litvol lechol betruma, we're talking about over here, to be matrim over here, to trumas drabonin we're talking about. Because again, we don't have real testimony over here. So therefore, the only way that we're going to be miming this is for a drabonin. So therefore, the drabonin believed him on a drabonin. Vishayacholeki mono alagorin. Now, I don't see, how does this prove the fact that he was given a portion at the threshing? Dilma Evet Koinum. How does that, I mean, there he's not saying he left school. So how do you know he's not an Evet? Ah, this teaches us, Kamandi Omar, Ein Chokin Truma LaEvet Elim Kein Rabboim. Oh, from here we see, you don't give out Truma to an Evet that is not in the presence of his master. Titania, Ein Chokin Truma LaEvet Elim Kein Rabboim. Oh, Divi Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi Omer, what's the problem? Yochulu Shiyomar. Why can't he say, look, if I'm a Kohen, this is talking about cases where you have two children. This is the prince and the pauper kind of thing. You had two kids that got mixed up. So one of them was the Evet, and one of them was the master. And now, the rest of their lives, they're, or until they're old enough to give each other get shichur anyway. But meanwhile, they're in a curious kind of situation. They both have a right to eat truma. One's the Kohen, and one belongs to the other one. But we don't know who's who. So the Rabbi Yossi says, look, each one can go and say, why can't I get truma on my own? Either I am the master, so I get truma, and if I'm not the master, I get truma anyway, because I'm the Evet, so you're not doing anything wrong. So Rabbi Yossi says, indeed, he can say that. He can say that one way or the other, I deserve to get the truma. So Im Evet Kohen Ani Tumi B'Shvil Rabbi. Now, this was actually not really a machlokas about truma. What this boils down to is our old standby. Whether we're malin mitruma liyuchasin. So if you hold that eating or getting a chelek in truma is a raya that I am absolutely a kohen, then obviously you can't give this child truma because we don't know that he's a kohen. He may be an evet. However, if you don't hold that eating truma or being chelek truma is a raya that you're a kohen, so then what's the difference? So then give him truma. What can you possibly be doing wrong? And in fact, that's the only machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda was a question of what the norm was in their locations. So bimekol Moshe Rabbi Yehuda ayu malim mitruma liyuchasin. Bimekol Moshe Rabbi Yossi lo ayu malim mitruma liyuchasin. That's all that it concerns us. Whether you're going to end up being matir, this person to marry into the kuhuna. Tanya, Omer Rabbi Elozer Rabbi Yossi, miyamai lo adati, I want you to know, I never, thank God, had to give testimony in court except for one time. And let me tell you something. I once gave testimony. Because I gave testimony, they made an Evet a Kohen. So it's a good thing I don't testimony. I don't give testimony. Says the Hellus, how could I talk? What, you really think that Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi would have been nichshal in such a thing that because of him, we would have had an Evet being a Kohen? Hashtu Mabim. Now, Tosus takes this whole thing out elsewhere, not here, but this story elsewhere, Tosus says this doesn't make any sense. The next piece of Gemara goes like this. Hashtu Mabim Tansho Tzadikim en HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mevi Takala Yadam Tzadikim Atzmam Loko Shekein. So if God doesn't allow even the chamor of Reb Pinchas Ben Yair to eat something that isn't kosher, that was taken meister properly, so Kol Shekein, that Tzadik himself, is not going to be nichshal in something. Now, Tosfos shows from many, many locations, this pops up all over Shas, that this is not a general rule. It's only a rule when it comes to eating. Because eating is viewed, for a tzaddik to eat something that's unsuitable, is viewed as a really insulting kind of thing. So Kadosh Baruch Hu isn't machshelim that he should be eating tarfus. If an animal, God's not going to give his animal tarfus, he's not going to give him tarfus. But to say that in general a tzaddik won't be nichshal in Anveira, that's certainly not true. And there's no reason, says Tosis, for us to think that God's going to protect him, that nothing bad can come because he protected the Chamor of Pinchas Ben Yair. How does that follow? See, he says this whole thing, somebody threw it in here to jazz it up a little bit. And it's just the Gemara was asking, I mean, did that really happen? Ad kedei kach? Because usually when somebody says something like that, it's like, you know, almost kind of thing. But there are those who say that since, in this case, the person would be eating truma his whole life, and that's all on the cheshbon, you know what they say, the Gehenim's on me, you know, when they give the heksher. You can trust the heksher, the Gehenim's on me, you know, it doesn't matter. So therefore, it would be as if he was eating Isser, so maybe, maybe it's not so inappropriate to have this girsa after all. Says the Gemara, well, the truth was, Bikshula lo tevet lekunalpi. Actually, I mean, all he was saying was, they wanted to turn an Evet into a Kohen because of me, you know? I'll tell you what happened. I mean, what happened was, Chaza Beatu de Rabbi Yossi. He saw a guy, being Chaylik Truma, in the area of Rabbi Yossi, where being Chaylik Truma is not a proof that a guy is a Kohen, because they were given Evet. So they're not Malami Truma Le Yuchsa. And he went and he was made in the area of Rabbi Yuda. And over there, everybody took for granted, oh, you saw him going and being Chelek Truma, he must be a Kohen. And they almost made him a Kohen until it was clarified. And wait. This happened in the area of Rabbi Yossi. And so because of that, in the end, he wasn't Nikshal.
Is this your brother, Rabbi Yossi's son? Strange, he would have made that.
Strange, yeah, I don't know. You have to ask Barnea. It's his neighborhood. What do you think? Yeah, it doesn't help us to decide whether this is Rabbi Elazar or Rabbi Yossi himself. Barnea doesn't remember.
It's not on me.
Doesn't remember the details. I didn't see any mention of it. Mishamakom hazeh beit ha'pras. What's the reason to believe him? My time of beit ha'pras is only drabonan. The Omer of Yudah Mishmuel. Look, I'll prove to you it's drabonan because we are so make when it comes to beit ha'pras that if it was a real chashash, it would be ridiculous. I mean, for instance, minapeach adam beit ha'pras v'olech. The thing is, you can blow your way across a beit ha'pras. You take one of those weed blowers and you just go ahead of you, and that way we figure if there's any bone remnants, you'll blow it out of the way. And then you can walk across,
it's
and you don't have to...
Because it's only touching. Because
it's only touching. There's no Tumas Ael on it. So that's why they developed those things. It was originally developed so Kohanim... I mean, they're the most absurdly inefficient way of cleaning or anything like that. But for this, it's great. So if you need to be Menafeach, a Beit HaPras, if you ever wondered what all that was about, so that enables you to get on. We'd never be Mako just to blow your way across. I mean, unless... It was a drabonan, and there's also the other shita and review and Rami Mishbeit Reviuta says Beit HaPras shenidash tahor. If people have walked across it, a lot of people walked across it, then it's tahor because then we assume that there's not even something that's the shear of a seora. By that point, everything is crushed. That's what Rashi says here. In other places, Rashi says because everything would have been kicked out or buried under the top of the ground level. So, but whatever it is, I mean, obviously we're being makel to rely on these kind of things. It's not that we're taking this chashash very seriously. And my time of the reason that we don't take it so seriously, the bottom line is that, you know, we're really sorry, Mechmir Yeraisa, that you don't have to worry about this so much. We're Machmir ben Rabbanan. But if the kid says, look, I know for a fact when I was the man says, I remember as a kid, they weren't machmer on this piece. So obviously this piece was beyond the original. Nobody remembers now where it all started, but he remembers. It only came up the year in the Kohanim. So that we can rely on because of the Rabbanan, believed him on the Rabbanan. The next thing we said was, we believe Matkan Ayinu Ba'im B'Shabbat. That's because clearly the Tana is Tchumim de Rabbanan, but this means entirely Tchumim de Rabbanan. The Tchum of 2,000 Amot is only de Rabbanan. But we don't, again, have to be machmer to need edut diorita. Ve'ein ne'eman lomar derech haya leploni b'mokom hazeh, ma'amad ha'mispad haya leploni b'mokom hazeh, my time, afukim amona lo mafkin, and obviously we cannot take money out of somebody's rishus based on the testimony of a cotton, even though now he's a gadol, but he's not a kosher aid because of the time of the riyah. Ton rabonet. Ne'eman ha'tinok lomar, kach amar li abba, mishpacha zot toram, mishpacha zot meya. I remember my father used to say, that family is Tomei, that family is Tar. What was that supposed to mean? What, his father's cursing the whole town over here? Tomeya, Tahora, what? Salka Daitach, what is this guy's in charge of the mikveh? What's going on? No, obviously it means Mishpacha Zo is Ksheira, they're allowed to marry into the Kunar, and this Mishpacha is Psula, they have Mamzerim. Now this is a big problem, because obviously we saw before that we don't even accept an Arar of an Eid Echot, even if it's a full Eid, Kosher, we're not going to accept the Eidus of a cotton. I mean, it's ridiculous. So I think probably the finest pshat, I mean, there's a lot of different approaches to the sugya, but I think the simplest pshat is that Be'etzem, there was an Urin that was Yotze about this entire family. So in other words, we have a kol. Tosfos said earlier that a kol is a sufficient Urin. So people were saying they're Chalolim, or that they're Nesinim, or whatever the case would be. This cotton says, look, that's true, but my father said not the whole family, but this particular Beit Av is fine, that Beit Av is a problem. So he's coming now to direct us with the kol. For that, the Eid Echot would be Neman. So over here, we're miming even a Katan's memory on that issue. Furthermore, Shachalnu, oh wait, I'm sorry, I skipped something. Oh, no. Furthermore, says the Braita, she'achalnu biktzatza shabbat ploni leploni. We were at the Ktsatsa ceremony, and we don't know what that is, of so-and-so's daughter when she was getting married to so-and-so. And he's also believed to say, we're going to say later on what that is. And I remember we used to always send challah, and we used to send our matanas, the Zorah L'chayayim, the Keva, to such and such a person who was a Kohen. Now, but this is only if he used to do it himself as a kid, al yaday atzmo. Because then a kid remembers that kind of thing. No, he actually used to go over there. If he's remembering that that's where the parents used to send it with somebody else, then we don't believe. Avalo al yaday acher. Now, in all of the above cases, v'kulanim haya ovid kochavim v'nitgayer, if we have an equivalent case of not of a katan who became a gadol, but of a goy who became a Jew, or of a eved who became now a mishuchrar, now he's kosher aid, in such cases, ein ne'amanim. It's only a katan that we're believing, not these other psulei der, edus. Ve'ein ne'aman lomar derech haya leplonik. This is all part of this brisa. Furthermore, he's not believed to say, so-and-so owned an easement in this place, or ma'amadu mispada ya leplonim v'makom hazeh. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broko Omer Ne'amani, he is believed, which is outrageous. Certainly, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broko, what was he referring to, eh? Ilei Masef is referring to the last piece? What, he's saying that you can rely on the edus of a katan, essentially, to be Afuke Mamona? That's crazy. Afuke Mamona? No. He's going back to the first part of the Seifa, Reisha, where it says, if they were Ovdei Kechavim v'nitzgayer, Eved v'nishetachrer, ein Ne'amanim. So on that, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka said, it's not only a katan who became a gol, it's a goy who became a Jew, an eved who became now kosher aid. It's the same situation. What are they arguing in? The Tanakama holds, bottom line is, that since he's an Ovid Kechavim, so he wasn't into it. Like, why is he going to, like, he's going to remember so much that the Jews were walking to here on Shabbos? It's really not his business. So therefore, we don't view it as something that's reliable, even ex post facto. It's true, right now he's a kosher aid, but an aid needs to be aware on a certain level of what's going on and care about what's going on. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka says, look, if the guy's a ger, you know what? He's probably been thinking about this gerus for God knows how long. He's been dreaming that he's, you know, the old joke about the Arab wasn't a good Arab. So it's he's, you know, he's probably got all kinds of stuff in his head. He's came with a diet to the guru and made a kavi diet. He's probably even more medayek than you. He knows exactly what he's talking about. Anyway, says the Gemara, the Braita refers to a ceremony called a Ketzatza. What exactly is a Ketzatza? My Ketzatza. The Tanur Rabbanan Ketzat Ketzatza. How do we do this Ketzatza ceremony? Well, if you have, let's say, a family of Kohanim, where one of the brothers goes ahead, he goes in and he marries a woman who is not kosher for the Kuna, is going to create problems, and the children are going to be halolim. Now the whole family is embarrassed, and they're worried that word's going to get out that their family is not really trustworthy, not all the kids are kosher lekuna, so they decide they're going to do a ketzatza. So boim b'nei mishpacha, the rest of the family comes, and they bring this big barrel full of these delicious fruit, and they smash it in the middle of the town, Rechava. And shovrin oto b'emz Rechava. And they'd say, all the kids, come here, come on. Grab these sweets. This is like breaking a candy jar in the middle of the, in those times, right? So they say, Achenu Beit Yisrael Shimu. We want everybody to hear this announcement. Achenu Ploni Nasa Isha Sheinau Genetlo. Our brother, Mr. So-and-so, has married a woman that is not proper for him. Umit Yarim Anu Shema Yitarev Zaro Bezarenu. We don't want his children to be mixed with the children of our family and to give us all a reputation of being unsuitable for the kuna. So bov kulachem dugmale dorot. Everybody take a fruit to note that his fruit are not kosher. And we do this bedavka because we figure the kids are always going to remember this. Because kid, this is like, wow, you know, this is amazing, right? So all the kids are running, you know, of course he remembers the ketzatza. Ketzatza, the pashas comes from Lashon of Liktos. We're cutting them out. We want to cut them out. That's what it says in Yerushalmi. It's interesting. A lot of pirushim by the Achronim that I apparently didn't see the Yerushalmi, but the pashas of the Lashon is that it's simply means to bring an end to our connection. And therefore, bo kulachem dugmala dorot. We want everybody to remember for the rest of time. Shelo yitarev zaro bezarenu. The Zohi Ketzatza, we finished explaining, that Ketzatza that it explains over there, is the Ketzatza that the Braita was referring to when it said, Shatinok Ne'eman La'id Aleha, that a child, even now he's an adult, of course, but he's allowed to remember that as a child, I saw the Ketzatza. The whole point was basically to burn it into the memory of children, because we wanted it to last. Hadron Alacha Yishash Nit Armala. Elu Na'arot Sheyesh Lehem Knas, the following women have a knas in the event of rape, and we'll discuss that tomorrow.
Tomorrow in the Dubinsky Sukkah. 10.